Good morning. Welcome to Asbury. Advent blessings to you. What a joy it is to see you here today as we begin our Advent season with what is going to be a spirit-filled and wonderful day here at Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here. My colleague, Reverend Hammond Evans, will be starting a new series this week that we are calling Home for the Holidays. And so I pray that this season is a blessing in all of your lives. I have a few announcements before we get started. First being, when you have a moment, please go ahead and log your attendance. You can do that by filling out the Connect tab that is attached to your bulletin and placing that in the offering plate. If you're watching online, good morning and thank you for being with us. There's a QR code you can scan to register your attendance and also to add prayer requests. We have a few more pledge cards out in the hallway if you need them. Last week on our Covenant Sunday, it was a beautiful day. The responses were amazing and faithful. But if you still need to fill out your covenant form for 2023, the ushers have those available in the back. Tonight at Asbury is going to be a wonderful night of fellowship together. We are going to have our Advent dinner at 5 p.m. and then we will come in here at 6 o'clock for our Hanging of the Green service. And so I pray that you will be with us. We look forward to being with you during that wonderful time. On Sunday, December 11th, we will have special music here in the sanctuary at 9 a.m. We will have special music in the launch the following Sunday, the 18th. Also on the 11th, we will have our children's program at 4 p.m. It's called A Super Christmas. And so we hope that you are here for that. I know the kids are working hard to put on a great program, and so we look forward to sharing that time with them. On December 16th at 7:30 p.m., we will have the Hendricks College Choir here for their Candlelight Carol service, and so we hope you join us for that as well. And then the last announcement, two announcements concerning boxes. Out in the hallway is our family-to-family boxes that we do every year. Today is the last day for that. And so if you need to pick up a box and fill one up this afternoon, feel free to do so. But those are due today. And then also as you're leaving, you'll notice right outside the sanctuary and then downstairs are a couple of gift-wrapped looking boxes. And what those are for is we are starting to collect the warm winter items for Stone Soup. This year, our Stone Soup mission falls on Christmas Day, so it's going to be a wonderful day to go be in fellowship and to serve. But that is also a day where we like to give out as much warm clothing as possible. And so think jackets, hats, warm socks, things like that. But we'll be collecting those donations from now up until Christmas Day, and then we'll get those over to Quapaw Court. With that, thank you again for being with us today. And as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, I invite you to stand up and greet your neighbor.
From Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." We are glad, whether we drove in or climbed up, whether we logged on or tuned in. We are glad to be here in this community with this family. It is a place of joyful hope, of radical welcome. It is a place where, together, we can wait in wondrous anticipation of the kingdom to come. From Isaiah 2, verse 3. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that God may teach us God's ways, and that we may walk in God's paths." We light this candle as a sign of our hope, our joyous hope that we can be restored, our faith restored, our strength restored, our confidence restored, our joy restored, as we watch and wait with all God's people for the promise to be fulfilled.
Thank you both so much. Please stand and join me as you are able for our hymn of praise this morning, O Come, Emmanuel. It's number 211, and we will sing verses 1 through 4. Please be seated.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks on this morning as your beloved children. We gather to give you thanks and praise for all the blessings that you pour into our lives, the blessings that are seen and the blessings that are unseen. We also gather this morning as we begin this season of Advent with hope. Hope in a Savior that is so much more than we could ever hope for. God, we gather this morning to pray for all of those who are in need of your love, grace, and mercy. We pray for the least and the lost. We pray for those who are hurting. We pray, God, for those who do not know you. We pray that through your grace and love, they are brought into your place of peace and love. We pray this morning for our community here at Asbury. We pray that we be strengthened mightily by your Spirit during this season to have a heart of peace, a heart of giving, and a heart of love. We pray this morning for all of those in our community, God, who are in special need of your healing and your grace. We pray specifically for Clifford Smith and for June Glazier. We pray for Barbara Clark and Val Carr, Megan Arnold, Joyce Dennis, Jean Hammett, Mark Schimmer, David Hickman, Mary Curtis, Scott Odena, Edith Roberts, Luke Sears, Hugh Roberts, Gail Pulley. We pray for all of those, God, whose names sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, and the tips of our tongues. We know that you're at work in all of their lives in a mighty way, so we can do nothing but give you thanks. And God, above all else, we give you thanks for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that he has done, is doing, and will do for us. May our strength, our faith be strengthened during this season. May we grow to see your love more clearly. And may we come to you with our joys and thanks during this season. We thank you for the power of prayer, for knowing how to pray. Jesus taught us that with the Lord's Prayer, which we'll now say together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare our hearts and minds for this time of offering, I'm overwhelmed by the response from last weekend. I wasn't here, but I heard it was powerful and beautiful. During this Advent season today, we are going to talk about hope. And what is the hope for this body of faith for the future? What is the hope that God is calling us to in mission and ministry to Little Rock? All that is realized through the giving of our time, our talents, and our gifts. And so during this time of giving, I pray that we are moved in a powerful way. Let us pray together. Gracious, loving God, I thank you so much for this moment. I thank you that you have brought us together here at this time. We know, God, and trust that you are doing a mighty work through us in this community at Asbury. And so, God, this morning, strengthen us through the power of your Spirit to give in all the ways we can to strengthen your kingdom building that you call us to in this community. We ask all this in your Son's holy name. Amen. Thank you.
y'all today? Good. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Okay, does anyone want to tell me something really yummy that you ate? Okay.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip. Yes. What about you?
Cool Whip dessert.
Oh, so we all just had a bunch of Cool Whip, I guess.
I made apple pie.
Apple pie? Mmm, y'all must have had some good desserts at your house.
Turkey.
Oh, turkey. There we go. That's important on Thanksgiving. So we're past Thanksgiving, about to go back to school, right? We ready for that? No. It's coming, whether we're ready or not. Me too, right? So what's our next big holiday? I bet y'all know.
Christmas!
We're so excited, right? You're gonna get the whole Christmas off of school? A 3-week vacation? Are you gonna go somewhere or just be off school? Just be off school. Yeah, if you were going somewhere, I might have to go with you. And you're what?
It's Hillary's house for Christmas Eve and Christmas.
Oh, well, that will be so fun. Oh, we have some confusion on plans. That's okay. It's okay. Well, you know what, guys? As excited, you want to say something important?
Well, let's hear it.
It's God's birthday.
You know what? I think you're going through my whole children's message. That was my whole point. So, guys, today is a really exciting day because it's the first Sunday of Advent. Do you know what Advent is? No? Have you heard that word before? You have? Well, so Advent is the 4 weeks leading up till Christmas, okay? And every single Sunday, we're going to come to church and we're going to light one of those candles. Did you see those people light, the Shelton family, did you see them light the candle?
Same one we did and light another one.
Yeah, every time we come to church, we're going to light another candle up there. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Well, today's candle represents, does anyone know what it represents? Hope. What'd you say? Hope, that's right. It the first day of Advent, but also hope. What does hope mean? What is hope?
It means you believe in something.
Yeah, but you believe in something or you really want something to happen. Have you ever said something like, I really hope we have pizza for dinner? Have you ever said that? No? You don't like pizza? You do, but you just never hoped that. Or maybe, I really hope I get that new video game for Christmas. No? Can you think of something else you've hoped for?
I hope that we never get COVID.
Ooh, that's a good one. I hope we never get COVID too.
I hope for Christmas I get a robot that's really, really smart.
A robot that's really smart? I hope you get that too. That's cool.
It's so expensive.
Oh, it's so expensive. Ooh, I hope Santa's listening. Anybody down there hope for something? You have something you hope for? Maybe a Merry Christmas. Maybe a quick next couple weeks at school. Yeah, maybe. Well, today, guys, we lit the what candle?
Hope.
The hope candle. Because Jesus gives us hope, right?
Yes.
And we have hope in knowing that we're going to celebrate his birthday in just a few weeks. All right. You ready to pray? That's right. That's right. Yep. You want to pray with me? All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for hope. Help us to wait for Jesus during this Advent time. We love you very much. Amen.
And then I would like that robot as well. As we prepare our hearts and minds today to hear the word of God, I invite you to stand and join me in the singing of the carol, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. It's number 206 in our hymnal. We will sing just verse 1. invite you to remain standing for our scripture lessons this morning. We'll be in Isaiah 64, verses 1 through 9, and then the gospel according to Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 to 31. If only you would tear open the heavens and come down. Mountains would quake before you like fire igniting brushwood or making water boil. If you would make your name known to your enemies, the nations would tremble in your presence. When you accomplished wonders beyond all our expectations, when you came down, mountains quaked before you. From ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God but you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You look after those who gladly do right. They will praise you for your ways. But you were angry when we sinned. You hid yourself when we did wrong. We have all become like the unclean. All our righteous deeds are like a menstrual rag. All of us wither like a leaf. Our sins, like the wind, carry us away. No one calls on your name. No one bothers to hold on to you. For you have hidden yourself from us and have handed us over to our sin. But now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. All of us are the work of your hand. Don't rage so fiercely, Lord. Don't hold our sins against us forever, but gaze now on your people, all of us. And from Mark's gospel, in those days, all the suffering of that time, the sun will become dark and the moon won't give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the planets and other heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then they will see the human one coming in the clouds with great power and splendor. Then he will send the angels and gather together his chosen people from the four corners of the earth, from the end of the earth to the end of heaven. Learn this parable from the fig tree. After its branch becomes tender and it sprouts new leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you know that he's near at the door. I assure you, earth will pass. I assure you that this generation won't pass away until all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will certainly not pass away. This is a word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Had a very happy Thanksgiving. I'm really excited about our Advent dinner tonight, and followed by our Hanging of the Greens. I encourage you to come for that. I'm thrilled about the response that we've had so far to our Uniting to Serve series. And if you haven't been able to had a chance to turn in your pledge card or covenant form, you can do that today. We have paper copies, and you can also go to the homepage of the website, and there's a link there that will take you to those forms where you can do them online. I'm also glad that you are here today as we start our Advent series. It's called Come Home for Christmas, Home for the Holidays. And from now to Christmas, we're going to see how we can make a home in our hearts for Christ. Today, we're going to begin with hope, and we have some wonderful worship services coming up. We've been planning, and I want to encourage you that this is a wonderful time to invite friends and family, especially those who do not have a church home, to come here to Asbury. Would you pray with me? God of all hope, we pray now that you will give us your Holy Spirit so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. So how do you get ready for Christmas? I remember when I was little that Christmas preparations began when the JCPenney catalog arrived in the mail. That was usually right around Halloween, and just right after Halloween. And by Thanksgiving, at least, I would have my Christmas list ready for Santa. And we would trim the tree and deck the halls the weekend after Thanksgiving in our house. And Mom, during that time, would unpack the Advent calendar. And I bet some of y'all had an Advent calendar just like this. It was like a big piece of red felt and had a green felt tree sewn into it. And it had 25 little pockets, and there were 25 little tiny ornaments that went along with that. And it seems like there was a reading that went along with them. The baby Jesus was in number 25 to be delivered on Christmas Day. And it felt like Christmas would never arrive. Baby Jesus just sat there and sat there and sat there. When you look at our world, does it ever feel to you like goodness will never arrive, like goodness will never arrive. You know, I see some of the stuff going on in the news and a couple of shootings this past week, and I wonder, why doesn't God just come right down now and fix this mess? Well, the fellow that wrote this part of the book of Isaiah felt exactly the same way. His people had cut God out of their lives. They had worshiped the gods of success and excess, and they stomped on the backs of the poor to get more for themselves. And so God was very patient for a very long time, but eventually God allowed them to suffer the consequences of those sins. The Babylonians came and destroyed God's temple and carried off many of them into exile. Well, empires rise and fall, and some 50 years later, the Persians came and conquered Babylon. The Persian king, a man named Cyrus, sent Isaiah's people back home. And that sounds like wonderful news at first, but when they got back home, they found that the temple was nothing but a pile of ash. There were no city walls to protect the capital of Jerusalem, and there were not even homes where they could live. Other nations were making fun of them, and because with all of that chaos going on, they did what we're doing right now. They started fighting each other. Some people were saying, if God is good and God is God, then why doesn't God do something about it? Then listen to what he says again. I wish you would tear the heavens open and come down, so the mountains would quake in your sight, like fire kindles brushwood, like fire makes water boil, to make your name known to your enemies. Let nations quake at your sight. You used to come down when we weren't even expecting it, and the mountains shook at your sight. The writer says, why don't you come down and do something about this mess right now, God? Then he shares the despair of his ontological alienation, and that's a fancy way of saying he despairs of his own sin. Ontological alienation means simply that we are radically separated from God by our sin. We're separated from God, our fellow human beings, and indeed the entire world around us to the very core of our being. Now, Methodists are very clear, that doesn't mean that the image of God is destroyed within us, amen? The image of God can always be renewed within any sinner. But the writer at this time felt utterly alienated from God. Listen to what he says again. You were angry, and we sinned a long time. Can we even be saved? I mean, have you ever felt so wrapped up and entangled in your sin that you wondered if even God could save you? You know, there's that habit that you just can't kick, or there is that desire that you just can't get to subside. The writer goes on to say, all of us are like an unclean thing. All of our good deeds are like a menstrual rag. All of us droop like a leaf, and our iniquities carry us away like the wind. You know, sometimes we do good things for the wrong reason, amen? And sometimes, no matter how right we are trying, the right that we're trying to do is, we still mess it up. And that's why there's so many self-help books in the bookstore or on Amazon. None of them work, but we will grab onto just about anything to try to fix ourselves. But we can't. So since we can't fix ourselves, where do we turn for help? Well, the writer tells us there in verse 8, now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter. And all of us are the work of your hand. Don't be angry, Lord, to excess. And don't remember our iniquity forever. You see, our hope is not in our money or in our power or in our stuff or in our ability to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Our hope is not in politicians or in any earthly power. Our hope is in the one who made us. God alone can heal the hurts of our hearts and the hurts of the world. So now is simply the time to turn to God our Father and allow God to work on us and in us and through us. In one of his novels, Nikos Kazantzakis tells us about four men who come to the Pope to confess their sins. And one of them, this guy named Michaelis, cries out in the middle of his confession, "How can God let us live on the earth? Why doesn't he kill us to purify creation?" And the Pope looks at Michaelis and says, "Because Michaelis, God is a potter. He works in mud." Now that's the good news and the bad news. The bad news is we're mud. We're all sinners. But the good news is that God loves mud. God loves sinners. That means that there's hope for you and me and any broken sinner in this old broken world. All we have to do is simply place ourselves in God's hands. We can let God put us back on the pottery wheel to retouch and remold and remake us in God's image. So when it feels like your world is spinning out of control, maybe it's just God putting you on that spinning wheel, retouching, remolding, remaking you in God's image. The writer says, "We are the work of God's hand. Christ is the hope of the world, and when we follow him, people begin to encounter Christ through us." St. Teresa of Avila put it beautifully when she wrote these words. She said, "Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours." It's humbling, isn't it? It's challenging, too, especially when the world crashes in on you. I'm always keenly aware this time of year that the holidays are tough for so many of our families, especially when we're grieving the death of a loved one. I don't know if I've shared this with you before, but my father passed away on my birthday in 2017. And I still don't have words for the feeling. Standing outside of his apartment while my phone is blowing up with well wishes of happy birthday. That happened on Wednesday. That Friday, Michelle and I went to the football game over at Little Rock Central. They were commemorating the 60th anniversary of integrating the school. And it was important for us to go for a variety of reasons, but especially to support my brother Bryce, who was the band director. So we get to the game, and I'm walking up in the stands, you know, trying to get to where the band is, and I pass Mrs. Williams, and some of y'all may know Mrs. Williams, one of the assistant principals there at Central High, and she gives me a big old hug, and she looks at me deep in my eyes and says, "Reverend Evans, how are you doing?" Well, I couldn't lie. And so I looked back at her and I said, "Mrs. Williams, it'll be better. It'll be better." You see, as followers of Christ, we are it'll be better people. There's a hope that lives within us even in the worst of times. That's why Paul wrote, "We boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." We aren't only people of hope. We are people who bring hope to the world. And I can't think of a better example of that than my old friend Fifi Jones. Fifi lives down in Warren, and when I knew her and her late husband Calvin, they weren't much according to the standards of the world. Back then, they were bringing home less than $12,000 a year in income. But every month, Fifi and Calvin prepared and delivered over 800 meals to feed the hungry in their community. So one Thanksgiving, Michelle and I took over some food to Fifi's for her Thanksgiving meal for the community. And one thing about Fifi is if you ever show up at her house, she's going to put you to work. And you may not believe this, but this vegetarian preacher once carried about 10 gallons of chitlins from her house down to her kitchen. I have still not forgotten the smell. So after we give her the food and I transport the chitlins for her, Fifi goes back in the house and starts fixing a to-go bag for us. And I said, oh no, Fifi, we came to give to you. You don't have to do that. She looked at me and said, Reverend, God is in the blessing business. You bring us a blessing, you're going to get a blessing. You can't outgive God. Fifi is 80 years old now. Now she's wheelchair bound, but her ministry is still going strong. Just last Saturday, she and her helpers prepared this year's community Thanksgiving meal. So you see, God doesn't always fix the world. Sometimes God fixes us. God uses us to bless others. So if you're looking for hope, allow God to start fixing the world through you, and you will bring God's hope to the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, Amen. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for seeing beyond our current circumstance into your promised hope and future. God, help us to look at the world through your eyes. And more than that, we open our hearts to you. Fill our hearts with your love and with your grace and with your mercy. And use our bodies. Use our hands, our feet, our voices, all of us, to bring hope to a dark and difficult world. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, Amen. Let us stand now and we'll affirm our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. This is the ecumenical version, and it is printed for us in our bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Of the Asbury Church family, you're welcome to do that this morning. If you would like to join from another church, whether that's a United Methodist Church or any other Christian denomination, you can come forward on the singing of our closing hymn. If you've never professed your faith in Jesus Christ and you would like to do that and receive the sacrament of baptism, be sure and mention that to Brother Nick or me after the service, and we'd be glad to meet with you and talk about that and schedule a service of baptism for you. You're also welcome to do that if you're joining us online, and you can reach out to me. My email address is hammett@asbury-lr.org. It may be there on your screen as well. But get in touch, and we would be glad to welcome you into the Asbury Church family as well. So now let's join together in our hymn of commitment, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, number 196. Next Sunday, we'll continue our Home for the Holidays series, and we'll talk about coming home with to peace in our hearts. And we want to invite you to come and bring a friend next week. Our Advent dinner is this evening at 5 p.m. over in the WAC, and that will be followed by our hanging of the greens here at, in the sanctuary at 6 p.m. I want to thank everybody for joining us today, and thanks to everyone who helped put this service together, all the musicians and everyone. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord, and the people of God said, Amen.